obsessed with all things ovine, there is seriously something about sheep and always something new to learn about keeping, breeding and farming them. Welcome to the Sheep Show podcast. I'm Jill Noble from Holston Valley Farm and Sheep Stud and your host. The Sheep Show podcast exists to help you, no matter where you are in the world, what sheep you breed, what size your flock is. This podcast will help your sheep knowledge and your shepherding confidence grow. And it's a two-way street. I love to hear from you and find out how your sheep journey is going. Contact me via Instagram at Holston Valley Farm or via email jill@holstonvalleyfarm.com.au. Come along on this episode as we explore the amazing world of sheep and sheep farming together. Hey everyone, welcome to this episode. It's Jill here and we've started lambing. How exciting. And this episode was actually a message that came to me from one of my lovely customers, Robin, and I know a very avid listener of the Sheep Show podcast. Thank you, Robin. It's such a great topic. And I just thought, we have started lambing and I have started to do this, what I'm just about to talk to you about. So perfect timing, hopefully, for a lot of us here definitely in Australia anyway. And for those of you listening elsewhere, well, you can empathize for the moment and maybe get prepared for the future, because this is something that we all sometimes have to deal with, and it's bottle feeding lambs. So I know we had a fabulous episode with Says the Vet on bloat in lambs. So we'll talk about that as well, but I want to talk about, I suppose, the other aspects of bottle feeding lambs. Why would we actually do it in the first place? How do you know when to do it? And then how to actually do it? And then how to stop. So the actual stopping of it as well, and the decision as well. So let me give you, the pros and the cons of why we would actually bottle feed lambs at all. What's the decision, I suppose? Because it is a bit of a commitment. But I suppose the big picture is that 90% of lamb death actually occurs within about 48 hours. There's a thing actually called three-day death in lambs. And it happens when the lambs either starve to death or hypothermia. So a lot of the time, we bottle feed lambs basically to improve lamb survival. It's as simple as that. There's a little bit of, from my point of view, you get sucked in. There's a little bit of animal welfare in there. There's a little bit of that sort of maternal and mothering instinct kicking in. You know, there's all those things. There's definitely not, I've got nothing else better to do. Let's get that really clear, because this is like not for the faint-hearted. Okay, it's a lot of fun, like for the first day. But after that, it becomes such a serious commitment. It's like, it's no joke, okay? It's no joke. So much so that my take on this over the last couple of years has been, feed them for 3 days and then get rid of them. Not to say that, get rid of them. I mean, foster them onto a ewe or sell them. And I have been very successful doing that. I sort of have a bit of a list going on every year where people buy 3 to 5 day old bottle fed lambs from me. And now I suppose when I say I sell them, I am selling them, and I'm selling them at like not $10. I typically sell them about $100 a lamb, sometimes more. And I suppose there's a lot of reasons for why I would do that. You obviously don't have to, and you can give them away. And I have done that in the past too. But when I sell them at $100 a lamb, I'm selling them with they've already had tags. They're vaccinated. They have had their marking, so the tails and the testicles. Or if they haven't, I will go and do that for the customer. And I will often give them a starting kit, which would have a bottle and some formula. These lambs have already had colostrum. They're already drinking or have been trained to drink from a bottle. I'll give the customer a bottle to take with them if they want. So they've sort of got a little bit of a kit, I suppose, going with that lamb. And then they have support as well. So in that sort of $100, there's more than just the lamb, I suppose. Then the other side of it is, why is that lamb worth $100? And this came up recently on a bit of a feed I was watching. Well, hang on, you're not even getting $100 for the lamb at, you know, a 6 month old at the sale yards. I'm totally sure, but you're not just selling one lamb at the sale yard. You're selling volume. So bear that in mind. Anytime you sell hundreds of lambs, yeah, fine. The price is going to be on the volume, but we're talking about one person buying one lamb and they are wanting to have a bit of confidence with that particular lamb, both in terms of the well-being of that lamb and the provenance of that lamb. Where did that lamb come from? How is that lamb set up for life? All those sorts of things. And if it dies, can I get a replacement? You know? So all those sorts of things. So there's more to it. So my lambs are all sired by prime rams. So these are not just your average run-of-the-mill commercial sheep. And not every single animal that I sell is going to make it into the show ring or is going to make it into a sort of a breeding life. But they've all got the potential to do that. And, you know, I will only sell weathered rams. I'll never sell a ram entire. I did it once as a bottle-fed lamb and I will never do it again. Big mistake. And sometimes you've got to make these mistakes to learn. But everything that leaves here is either going to be a weathered boy or a ewe that you're very welcome to do whatever you want with that particular ewe. If you wanted to just keep it as a pet or if you wanted to breed from it, that's fine too. But my point here is really that $100, for example, is offering that person confidence, support, security, safety, and that animal is set up for life. And for example, that second injection. So they'll get their first injection here before they leave. And that second injection we will administer for that particular lamb owner if they wish. And I've done that several times. So that's why I sell them. And that's why I suppose we try and bottle feed them in the first place. Because, well, you know, every lamb alive is a potential a life that we've saved, if you want to look at it from that point of view, or it's all going towards the effort that we've put into that you producing a lamb, at least to birth, even if that you, for example, for whatever reason, isn't able to feed it or doesn't choose to feed it. And, you know, I want to be a farm that represents good quality animal welfare and thinking of little lambs' lives as sacred. I don't like burying or composting lamb bodies. It's not something I enjoy and it annoys me. Every single lamb I have to put in my compost bin, which I do, that really, you know, I sort of count that down as a loss. It's a life loss. It's a production loss too as well. Anyway, that's why I do it, to really sort of reduce that statistic, I suppose, and increase lamb survival on our farm. And of course, there's some serious pros and cons to bottle feeding lambs. One, as says the vet, would have helped you understand, they can die very easily and very, very quickly, particularly if you continue to feed them the normal powdered milk formula. They just don't do well on it, particularly after, they're okay for the first week, 2 weeks, but after 2 weeks, I would definitely change, if you continue to bottle feed that animal, I would change them to yogurtized milk, which is what says the vet recommends. And it's very, very easy to do. And to be honest, I find when I do that, it saves me so much time because the milk is made up in a large batch. It's yogurtized. You don't have to heat it or warm it. You do it once a day. It yogurtizes overnight. And then you feed the animal that particular yogurtized milk. So it actually is very easy for me from a time point of view, very efficient. And I also find that obviously, you are giving that yogurtized milk to the animal with confidence. So you're not worried it's drinking an awful lot, it's drinking very fast, it's going to die. You basically take all of those concerns and all those worries away when you give it yogurtized milk. So if you're after this podcast, if you're thinking, I've got a bottle fed, I'm going to keep feeding it, please go and have a listen to Says the Vet's podcast on bloat in lambs. Probably the biggest con, well, two of the biggest cons to bottle feeding lambs is the fact that you will have to do it at least three times a day. Now, my very first one that I did as an adult, I did loads of them as children were growing up. But as an adult, I was like getting up every 3 hours. I'll just say that again. I was getting up every 3 hours, so middle of the night. So I was feeding this particular lamb a feed every 3 hours. Now, she didn't die of bloat. Definitely not, because she was getting smaller feeds more regularly. But, you know, that's really good. If you've got a really weak lamb, really sick lamb, you know, sometimes my lambs, you know, 2, 3 days old, they're going to be inside the house with me. Now, they don't stay in very long, and I've sort of moved away from the nappies, and I'll tell you how I sort of set them up in a sort of a lambing pen. But, you know, sick animals will come inside and be in a box or a plastic tub beside the fire. Yeah, and that's just one way to deal with them. But the con is that it takes time. It takes at least three feeds, if not four feeds a day, that you have to be there to be able to give that lamb a feed. And that will at least be for the first 2 weeks. And then you can probably bring it down to three feeds a day. So when I say three feeds, one in the morning, perhaps one in the afternoon, maybe around 5, and then one maybe 10 or 11 o'clock at night. Yeah. So they will still continue to be on three feeds a day until you decide to wean them. And with the yogurtized milk, you can leave them drink milk a little bit longer. But if you're not going to give it yogurtized milk, you want to start to wean at about 6 weeks. That's quite early for a bottle fed. They don't grow as fast. The milk that they get and the volume and the frequency obviously doesn't really, and they're not taught to eat grass. They'll teach themselves later on, but they don't grow as well as other traditionally ewe-fed lambs. So you've got to just bear that in mind. I prefer to leave them on the yogurtized milk till at least 2 months, maybe even 2.5 months. But that still means you're feeding them three times a day for 2.5 months. It's a lot. You've got to be there with them all that time. Yeah. So con, other big con is that animal, oh, how do I explain it? They're a little pain after you try and reintroduce them back into the flock. They get bullied a little bit by the flock. They're a little bit of an outcast. They behave a bit differently. They're a bit attached to humans. When you try and mob them with the other sheep, they tend to not want to mob up with the other sheep, but they definitely want to mob up with a human. So they act and behave differently. I haven't actually kept a bottle-fed lamb on our farm for the last 4 or 5 years even, because I find them very, very difficult to integrate into the mob and for them to be one of the mob. And when we move sheep, the way we move sheep with our paddock sizes and paddock shapes, it's just really too time-consuming to sort of deal with this silly little bottle fed that just wants to sort of wait for you to come and pick it up or wait for you to come and get it or whatever. So a little bit painful, but gee, they're cute. I mean, the pros, you fall in love with them. They have a whole personality. They love you. They will follow you around. You know, you can take them to events. There's a little sort of a, you know, lamb/dog thing. So they're so cute and so adorable and so loving. And there's all those lovely, you can dress them up if you want to dress them up and stuff. So, you know, but they come at the cost. Okay. So just bear that in mind. But big picture, lamb survival, that's why we would do it. Another question was, how do you know when to do it? How would you know when to intervene and give a bottle? Like, if I just give you an example of some of the ewes that have lambed for me already. Now, if you're listening to this quite close to me releasing this particular episode, it's early July in Australia, down for me in Gippsland, where it is very, very rare for British sheep to be lambing. Well, even I had lambs in late June. Never, ever have I had that before. If you're wanting to know how I did it, check out the subscriber-only content, the sex and seasonality Sort of like Sex and the City. Sex and Seasonality. Sorry, I don't mean to laugh. Sex and Seasonality premium content episode, which will help you understand the sort of wizardry that I performed to get my ewes to lamb or to cycle in January. And then lamb really, really early end of June. However, today I've had another customer who had a ram running with lambs very close to me, have her first lambs. Hey, Jody, have her first lambs today too. So even without my wizardry, you can still get lambs. Now, I got lambs 2 weeks ago, but even without the wizardry, you can still get lambs in Gippsland in Southern Australia in early July. Not always, but it's possible. So, okay, I've had to administer colostrum to two lambs so far. They didn't really like it, didn't want it, but at least I got about 30 mils of them, of colostrum into them, because I just wasn't sure that they got it from the ewe because of the ewe's udder. And then I also used what I would call a hybrid method on one other lamb. I knew this lamb, other lamb, set of twins, had got colostrum, but it wasn't getting as much milk as I liked, and it was displaying, and here's your hint, it was displaying behaviors that I would associate with this 3-day death. And that is where it's standing hunched in its sort of shape. So rather than sort of stretched out like a normal lamb would be, normal shape, it's sort of standing with its hind legs and forelegs or shoulders very, very close together and in this sort of arched back. And I thought that lamb is not getting enough milk from its mother. And the mother wasn't eating, and the mother was sitting down quite a lot. And the other lamb that was very feisty and very dominant was trying to drink while the mother was sitting. Now, I treated the mother in my own little special way, which means that I gave her high doses of a min kelp solution, like seaweed solution. When I say high doses, like 30 to 60 mils. And I also administered 15 mils of vitamin C to that particular ewe. And in 2 days, she came good. And I just kept the food in front of her, nice fresh food all the time, kept her in a little pen. And she came good. She came real good. In the meantime, though, I gave that particular lamb bottles, milk, for about 2 days or so, and its sibling for about 1 day. Now, the thing here is that I will try both of the lambs on a bottle. If they drink, they're hungry. But they're not going to appreciate me grabbing them and trying to shove a baby's bottle down their mouth. But if they drink it, and it's nice, warm, you know, warm milk. So if they drink it, they're hungry. And both animals drank it. And then I found that after a day, the older one, the bigger one, when I say older, like it was obviously like born first and bigger, it was born. These lambs were twins, 4.3 kilos, and the other one was 3.7. So 5 kilos difference, really. Five ounces, pounds. I can't think, but anyway, the pounds, I think, in a kilo. And the other one kept drinking for another day or so. And then you started to eat, you started to produce milk, you started to stand up more, lamb started to drink, lamb didn't want the bottle anymore. Bill's job is over. Yeah. But I'll just keep trying just in case. So that's how I know. Now, the other reason I would know is that lamb is calling out a lot, bleating a lot. It's obviously hungry, lying down a lot and really lethargic, hungry. And of course, checking the udder. So checking the udder on the ewe will tell me what that lamb has to deal with, how hard they have to suck, what's the volume of milk coming out, all that sort of stuff. So that's how I know to actually give the lamb a bottle. Or now, note here with these ones, I left the lamb with the mother because my preference is that she does the job that she's paid to do. She gets free rent and board and feed here, said you. So she needs to do the job she's paid to do. And that's feed lambs, produce lambs, feed lambs, do her job. So I will let her do it and get out of her way and help her if she needs help. But most of the time, you know, I have got to make a decision. Can she do it? Like, I would have been prepared to take one of those lambs off her and foster it, for example, onto another ewe, or I would have been prepared to sell it. Yeah. I try and keep the girls if I can. So those are the ones I would really prefer to foster, any female animals I prefer to foster, and then I can sell a weathered animal. That's my preference anyway, but your preference might be a bit different. So that's why we do it, pros and cons, and then how you know how to do it. Then how do you actually do it? Well, you use something like a lamb milk formula. I use Prophylac, but there's several others that you can get. Follow the instructions on the leaflet, or they all have really, really good websites which instruct you. Typically, they'll instruct you what is a liter and a half a liter to mix up. And they'll say, for example, somewhere between 160 grams and 180 grams per, I don't know, half a liter or something like that. Now, why 160 to 180? It just depends how strong you want that formula to be. So if you want that animal to put on weight quicker, then stronger formula, so more powder, less water. So you have a little bit to play with there. So you don't have to be absolutely exact, but just I wouldn't be sort of chopping and changing. If you start off at 180, keep going, unless perhaps you're thinking, oh, they're drinking this formula too quickly and it's expensive. The formula is expensive. So just bear that in mind too. Most ag stores will have it, or you can buy it online and it can be delivered to you. And there's sometimes little buckets that you can buy of it, which are really good because you can use the bucket afterwards. And of course, it's nice and rat proof, or you can buy, I think it's a 10 or 15 kilo bag. Use the one for the lambs though, rather than the ones that have the milk for the calves, just because that the calves have more sort of minerals, or different sort of quantities of minerals, and they often have the blue flecks, which actually I think the lamb stuff does, and I think that stops the coccidiosis. But it's Bovatec, I think, that they put in the calf one, and they must put a different one in the lambs. Read the label, really. But I would always choose a lamb product over a cow product, unless you've got absolutely no choice. Now, listen, if you absolutely have no choice, it's the middle of the night, or you're thinking, I want to be prepared, I just want to have a little bit of powder on hand, go to the supermarket and buy some human formula in a tin, the cheapest you can get. Nothing wrong with that at all. Yeah, seriously. It will at least keep that lamb survival up for the weekend, and then you can go to your ag store and pick up the proper lamb formula if you want. Now, okay, I probably should have said if the lamb hasn't had colostrum, it will need colostrum, but only give it colostrum for about 48 hours or so. Now, I have some lovely neighbors, and just this week, in fact, just today, I had a delivery of fresh colostrum today from some lovely neighbors. And I just either they buy meat off me, we sort of do a little bit of bartering. And this particular time, I just swapped some lovely lamb dog meat, lamb bones and stuff for the colostrum. And I got myself, oh, gee, there must have been about 10 liters of colostrum that I got. I just put it into Ziploc bags and just freeze it. Now, when you thaw it out, make sure you don't use heat to thaw it out. Heat, you could use a little bit of warm water if you need it in a rush. But if you've got a lamb that's needing colostrum, get it warm first. Get the lamb warm first, which means you've got time to defrost slowly the colostrum, and then you're good to go. Then you can use that colostrum moving forward. And it does last quite a long time, colostrum, at least 6 months in the freezer. Obviously, the fresher, the better. And literally today, the colostrum I got and that I've frozen was straight out of a cow today. So the good news is down here in Gippsland, we've got lots of dairy farms. They're lambing in winter. So if you know one of them, then say hello and see if you could swap them something for some colostrum. The other thing you can do is just purchase, like, there's a lovely one called Impact, which they give to baby kangaroos and wallabies. you can use that, or there are ones that you can purchase like dehydrated colostrum in the produce store as well. Very expensive, not, you know, compared to lamb bones, very expensive. But hey, it's peace of mind, isn't it? So you'll need your colostrum, some form of colostrum, unless you know that lamb has had colostrum, and then you'll need your powdered milk. Now, funny enough, I've tried lots of different bottles. The best bottles that I find are the ones, the cheapest ones that you can get in the supermarket. Just baby bottles. They work. Now, you will not get more than a year out of these bottles. You might not even get a full, like the lambs will chew the teats after the lambs get older and their actual teat develop. Your teats on those little cheap supermarket bottles won't last very long, but they're so easy to get. They're available in the supermarket, and I just find them the best. Then you can upgrade to some of the proper ones, proper lamb feeding bottles that you can get at your ag store. But to get you through that first couple of sort of feeds, and the good thing is they're really small, these bottles, so they take about, you know, 250 mils. And most of the time, like most of the time, a lamb, you're only giving it 80 to 100 mils in a feed. Yeah. And you'd be lucky, like those ones I gave colostrum to, I was lucky to get 30 mils of colostrum into them. You know, so don't feel that you know, it's such a small quantity. They're a small little thing with a small little stomach. And this is why you might be up every 3 hours if you choose to. You don't have to, but, you know, if you're wanting to really do the best by that animal and you don't want to do the yogurtized milk, then you might want to be getting up an awful lot more frequently. So that's sort of how to do it. Now, probably another little technique would be, you know, if you've got a lamb and it's not used to being fed by a human, then put your hand over its eyes, snuggle its nose right up to you, like it's going to be like literally under the you, and put it in darkness. Put your hand over its eye. I like to sort of almost stand up, put one of my legs, raise one of my knees up, then balance the, this is kind of strange, balance the lamb on my knee and in my elbow, and then use one hand with the bottle and one hand over the lamb's eyes. So the lamb is really kind of cozy and snuggled and it's dark, much like if you were right underneath the sheep. And you want to have it at a really kind of high angle when you're feeding that particular animal. So you want the bottle to be very much at right angles or higher so that the lamb's mouth is pointing upwards so that the milk, when they suck it, gets sort of goes down into their, there's different, like they can go into their lungs and that can drown them. So, but if they're sucking, that's not going to happen. And same rule applies as you would for feeding a human child. Test the temperature on the back of your hand. If it's too hot, it's too hot for the lamb. If it's kind of nicely warmed, it's perfect. And then you want to have the quantity of milk coming out of the teat as a sort of a drip, not a pour, but a drip. So the lamb has to actually suck on the bottle to actually get the milk. Little things you can help them do to learn how to suck, stick your finger in their mouth. That'll teach them to suck, you know, get that sucking reflex happening, or give the little teat a bit of a squeeze so that they at least get a little taste of the milk and then they'll start to suck. I find if they're hungry, they will drink. It's as simple as that. If they're not interested, they're not hungry enough, then watch to see if they get hunched or if they start bleating, and then they'll be hungry enough and they will drink. They will drink. It's quite amazing the survival instinct that they have to want to drink for survival, because of course, just like us, we are and they are designed. So for those of you who perhaps have bottle-fed children, this year's all coming back to you now. Don't try and feed them though. If they're really, really weak, get them warm in the front of a fire with a hot water bottle. Give them honey. And there's a few little tips. Go back to the lambing diaries. Lots of tips there on honey on the gums and little things like that. I've even tried brandy and stuff like that. But honey, I find, is really quite good to give that animal a little bit of energy. And once it's warmed up, beside the fire with a hot water bottle or with a little blaster or heater. Don't overheat it though, like with a hair dryer, but it can work. But, you know, obviously just be careful and then get it to drink or give it a drink. So hopefully that helps you that far. Then the question is, when do you stop feeding it? If it's yogurtized milk, keep feeding it as long as you possibly can. Generally, my rule is when the bag runs out. So I'll be looking at my bag of powder and sort of balancing up the cost of buying a new bag with the cost of perhaps how many lambs I'm feeding and all those sorts of things. So just bear that in mind. And then to wean it, don't give it water. Under no circumstances should the lambs ever be fed water in a bottle. When they start to eat solid food, you could put out a little bowl of water for them, but water and you really young lambs just doesn't mix. Definitely never feed them water through a bottle. And just, it's the same way if you fed bottle fed calves, the same idea. They really don't need water because they can fill up on water and it's not good for them. So to wean, then just make a decision to wean them and just get it down to say one feed a day, maybe just a nighttime feed to like shut them up, and one little nighttime feed, reduce the quantity. They will hound you and they'll be really annoyed at you withholding milk from them, but you want them to perhaps give them a little bit of grain, get them filling up on that, give them some lucerne, get them out on grass. The cleaner the pasture, the better. They're going to be very susceptible to worms here. So just like all lambs. So they'll bear that in mind. You can socialize them. You can put them in with other lambs, but really watchful because the other lambs and even other ewes can really be quite nasty to this little foreign thing. So bear that in mind. A few other tricks I've had in the last couple of years, like I did have some bottle feds last year until I found some new homes for them, some buyers for them. And that was going into sort of a week to 2 to 3 weeks old. And I hadn't, one of my neighbors had bottle fed lambs as well. So what I did was I said, okay, so can we kind of co-parent these lambs? So that perhaps I'll do all the weekend feeds. You bring your lambs to me and with my lambs, they'll all go in together. And then you take them all during the week and I'll pay for some, we'll sort of pay for some milk or whatever it might be. So that way I was able to actually do my day job without having to feed lambs and able to leave the farm. Whereas my neighbor was on the farm during the week. Occasionally, you know, visited relatives and stuff and, you know, anyone needs a break from bottle feeding things. So that really worked quite well. The other thing I saw was someone asking about, how to home these bottle fed lambs. So you got some options. If you have a little sort of lambing jug or lambing pen, particularly where there are other sheep, it's a really good place to put them. For a few reasons. One, sometimes, like I think I told a fabulous story, which I still remember in the lambing diaries last year, how I had a bottle-fed lamb. I had a ewe I had to intervene with. She had a massive single. She had a great udder. She was able to feed both. I had this other bottle-fed lamb in the jug or the pen beside her. That lamb was calling out. The ewe was calling out. And as the ewe lambed, its first lamb was licking its first lamb. I took out the other bottle-fed lamb, which was huge. Like it was, must have been 2 weeks old, and covered it in the birthing liquid and stuck it under the ewe's udder. And that lamb just went for it. And the ewe was fine. And the that you took to the two of them like no man's business, which is just amazing. So if you can have them close to other ewes, I think that's a really good idea. Something like that could happen. If not, then here is what my great husband Gary designed for me. It was the plastic top of an IBC. You know those 1,000-liter water containers with the little kind of steel cages that they use to cart stuff around in. Get some of those, the top off it, cut the plastic, the plastic part of it, cut it in half so that it's tall enough that the lambs can't jump out, particularly until they're perhaps 3 weeks old. They can't jump out of it and the sides are quite slippy. We just have that on our front sort of veranda. And if I have three or four bottle-fed lambs, I'll put some straw down in there. They'll live in there. They can get out and run around during the day on grass, but they sleep in there. And then if they do, if I am worried about foxes, I will just put a piece of mesh on the top. Piece of mesh on the top. Sometimes even if I know that they're very loud, screamy lambs, I'll cover it over with a blanket, but still make sure they can breathe. So it's a bit of a balancing act. That keeps them warm, keeps them safe, less cleanup. They're not in the house. You're not having to buy nappies. They're fox protected. Again, if you've got a pen, that's even better. But if you don't have a pen, something like that plastic sort of, the cardboard boxes will work too, but they will soil cardboard boxes really, really fast, obviously, with, you know, their waste and things like that, you know. So, but sometimes if it's temporary, I'll just put them in a cardboard box in the house and things like that. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a good attraction, but it's a big commitment as well. So, anyway, that's a lot of stuff on why we would have a bottle-fed lamb, pros and cons of having bottle-fed lambs, when to know when to feed a bottle-fed, the hybrid method, keeping them with the ewe if you can, or and waiting to see if the ewe is, and sometimes even with the ewe who perhaps it doesn't like its lamb, that can be a good, just make, even tie her up sometimes, and then how to do it, and what equipment you're going to need, and then how to wean as well. So if it's for you, go for it. If it's not for you, then, I mean, another option could be, like I did the co-parenting with my neighbor, but another option could be you might have local kids, local children, local families who would love to have a bottle-fed lamb for, you know, 2 months maybe. And they would love to give it back to you because they don't have a farm or land big enough to have it eat grass. So that's another option as well. Find, lots of farmers do that. They just find sort of surrogate parents, human parents that is, for a short term. And then that animal will come back to you later on. And if it's a wether, then, you know, that could be one that you could get dispatched very, very quickly. So that it's not annoying you and it's not being a bit painful as you introduce it to your flock. So there you go. If you choose to do it, enjoy it and happy bottle feeding. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sheep Show podcast. Would you like some more hands-on farming experience? Here at Holston Valley Farm, we run personal on-farm practical education where you learn to farm with us. Interested? Get in touch via the Contact Us page at www.holstonvalleyfarm.com and let's explore how we can help you achieve more with your sheep. How's your sheep journey going? Contact me via Instagram at Holston Valley Farm or via email jill@holstonvalleyfarm.com.au. And until next time, sheep well.